From that moment on, most of the world had forgotten all that once was. To the masses, Reante was and always had been the Emperor of Anistroth. But there are some whose minds are powerful enough to resist the effects of dark magic. Among these few, aside from myself, of course, were the rest of the Shaman, Sage, and Adrienne, who at that time had no idea what had happened, because their cottage was on the outskirts of the kingdom. With the ill-advised and violent attack placed against them the next morning, they soon found out.
I don't know. It's just that something doesn't feel right. You know that my visions are usually accurate.
Are you certain Reante was the one from your dream?
Yes, I'm sure it was him.
Whether it was her acute hearing or her gift, I will never be sure. But at that moment, Sage heard an intruder.
What is it?
Without responding, Sage wasted no time in grabbing the cloaked demon that stood just outside the door. Gritting her teeth, she slammed it up against the wall. In so doing, she had inadvertently revealed the creature's face to the two of them. A grotesque, gnarled-looking face. With grey, scaly skin, slits for eyes, a mouth full of pointed, sharp teeth. Having seen many creatures of magical origin, neither of the two girls was fazed much. Nor did this creature weaken Sage's resolve.
Who are you, and what are you doing in our house? Answer me!
Seeing that her demands were not met by using force, Sage turned to Adrienne.
Adrienne?
Intuitively knowing what Sage wanted of her, Adrienne nodded and placed her hand over the demon's face.
He is one of them. One of the followers of Kintalia.
Is that true? Are you hers?
Yes.
The two of them momentarily distracted by their newfound knowledge. The demon took the opportunity to break free of Sage's grasp. He shoved her hard against the table with unnatural strength. Sage fell to the floor unconscious. The demon turned its hideous face to Adrienne, its malevolent glare fixed on her.
And now, it's your turn.
With a quick thrusting motion, he raised his arms and sent her magically flying backwards. Adrienne crashed through the wall. Broken glass and debris surrounding her, she lay unconscious and bloody outside her shambled home, thinking he had won, that both of the girls were now dead or dying. He turned to leave, only to hear.
Adrienne!
He whirled around at the sound of her voice, but not in time to avoid being grabbed and sent forcefully through the hole he had just made. A look of fury on her face, Sage jumped out of the hole and landed standing on top of him.
Lightning Bolt Theater of the Mind presents Kingdom of Darkness. Arc 1, The Legend of Kintalia.
You son of a bitch!
One of Sage's strongest attributes was her personality, her protectiveness to those she cared about. Adrienne was at the top of that list. With intense rage and fury, Sage beat the demon until he was a barely conscious form, shuddering underneath her.
Now, you're going to tell me what I want to know. How do I stop Kintalia from being freed? And how do I stop Riante from killing Rashaan?
Too late.
You lie!
A few punches later, Sage got off him and addressed Adrienne, shaking her gently while still keeping her eyes on the demon.
Adrienne, come on. I need you to wake up.
Sage? What is it?
I need you to tell me if he's telling the truth. He says that Kintalia is already free and that Vershan is already dead.
Sage helped Adrienne to her feet and steadied her as she walked over to the barely responsive demon. Adrienne once again placed a hand over the demon's face and closed her eyes in concentration. Seconds later, she opened them and stared up at Sage, a look of worry on her face.
He is not lying. Kintalia has been freed.
Adrienne turned away as Sage bent down and quickly snapped the demon's neck.
Come on, let's get you inside and clean you up.
With each passing moment, Kintalia's powers grew. She could sense his death.
Fool!
What is it? What did you see?
He went after those women and they killed them, just as I warned him they would. Now we are down one more in our battle to reclaim our kingdom. Where's Riante? We need to get him to act sooner.
But your strength...
It will have to suffice.
It would take Kintalia some time to find Riante, for he was walking about the forests of his newly acquired kingdom. He was suddenly jolted out of his reverie by a group of mysterious nymphs who watched him with curiosity.
Here comes the Emperor. That's not the Emperor. He does not even resemble
him. Look at his robes. He must be.
Would you two be quiet? Here he comes. Good day to you, sir.
Enjoying the forest?
Why, of course, sir. We're water nymphs. Would you like to come swim with us beside our water?
I'm not so sure.
Emperor, would you join us?
Very well.
A mischievous look in his eyes, Riante nodded and followed the three nymphs. They led him to a small beach where they removed his robes and beckoned him to follow them into the water. Eyeing their perfect feminine forms, he followed with no thought of resisting. The rest of his time with them I shall leave up to your imagination. Several hours later, Riante found himself back in the courtyard of his castle. This time, Nullith interrupted his musing by callously dragging a young woman toward him and throwing her hard to the ground. This did not please Riante a bit. You see, he strongly objected to the mistreatment of women for any reason.
Tell him what you did.
Sire, I have a starving family. I borrowed food from one of
no,
your gardens.
No, you stole from your emperor. That is treason. Do you know what we do to traitors?
Rage washed over Riante's senses as he observed Nullith kicking the young woman.
What's wrong with you? Can you not see this woman is starving?
She stole from you. She stole from Anastroth. And she broke the law.
Enough. Did you mean any disrespect?
No, sire.
Then go quickly and take all the food you need from my gardens. If anyone else gives you any more trouble, send them to me. Tell them that I approved it.
Thank you, sire.
So surprised by the kindness shown her by the Emperor himself, the woman quickly got up and hurried away. She was so shocked she missed Sage passing by, and they collided. Sage turned to look back and saw Riante in his emperor's robes, arguing with Nulleth. The truth is often blurred by perspective. Sage was about to reach the wrong conclusion, given her lens of experience. A conclusion that would lead to new misfortune.
Listen to me and understand something. This is my kingdom where I am in power. Whatever laws told you that I can't do as I wish, forget them now. Do you understand me?
Yes, sire.
Now go.
Having concluded that it was up to her and Adrienne to take matters into their own hands, Sage hurried home from the village.
Did you get it?
This was all I could find, but it should heal you.
Where did you get it?
Well, I couldn't find any in the woods, so I had to go and get it from a merchant. It should work the same, though.
Before relaying the hefty news, she decided to pour the contents of the potion onto Adrienne's wounds, and allowing the healing properties to take effect.
I saw Briante while I was in the village.
What happened? Did he see you?
I don't think so. He was too busy telling someone how things were to be run in, hear this, his kingdom. He didn't just kill Vershan, he became the emperor, and he took his place. I'm guessing Kintalia's magic probably had something to do with it. She probably changed the minds of everyone in the village.
But if no one else remembers Vershan, why do we...
I don't know. Come with me downstairs. We need to prepare a plan for what's to come.
If the two girls had had the privilege of a shaman upbringing, they would understand why dark magic was unable to influence their minds. But I suppose that is a moot point. You have been listening to Kingdom of Darkness, Arc 1, The Legend of Kintalia, Episode 6. Written, directed, and produced by Joshua Price. With additional sound engineering by Tanya Mulevich. This episode featured the voice talents of Tanya Mulevich as Mavican, Nicole Robinson as Sage, Serena Carroll as Adrienne, Deborah Adams as Kintalia, Seth Bramwell as Nulleth, Matt Weller as Riante, Krista Kelly as Nymph 1, Maureen Boutier as Nymph 2, Sarah Golding as Nymph 3, and Anna Marchio as Starving Thief. Wallas included Joshua Price, Carol Foley, Tanya Mulevich, and Jack Ward. Royalty-free music was obtained from composers Kai Hartwick and Kevin MacLeod. Sound effects were gathered from The Free Sound Project, Sound Dogs, Sound Snap, and self-produced. This radio drama falls under the United States 3.0 Creative Commons license. Thank you for listening, and we hope you enjoyed the show. Stay tuned for another podcast you may enjoy.
This has been a Lightning Bolt Theater of the Mind production.
Scandal produced.
In the year 1988, the crime rate in the United States rises 400%. The once great city of New York becomes the one maximum security prison for the entire country. A 50-foot containment wall is erected along the New Jersey shoreline, across the Harlem River, and down along the Brooklyn shoreline. It completely surrounds Manhattan Island. All bridges and waterways are mined. The United States Police Force, like an army, is encamped around the island. The prison's name, New York Maximum Security Penitentiary, Manhattan Island. There are no guards inside the prison, only prisoners and the worlds they have made. This is the Broken Sea audio production of Escape from New York.
Broken Sea.com. The mayhem begins.
You go in,
Find the president and bring him out in 24 hours, and you're a free man.
I'll think about it.
No time. Give me an answer.
So get a new president. Trade Center dead ahead. Should be there now. Hold on, I'm going through the wall of cars.
What?
I said, hold on.
Where'd you learn to drive?
Come see.